And welcome in to In-Game Chat for Saturday, August 23rd, 2025. Is that correct? Cool. Had to check. Season 19, episode 26. And I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
Welcome into the show, everybody.
Good time to check, by the way.
Okay. Well, yeah, anyway, right after I say it. It is. Yeah. That's the date. Let me look first, or let me look second after I say it. Yeah, welcome into the show, everyone. If you'd like to get in touch with us, then all you need to do is head on over to Discord, because we got that all set up for you. But yeah, you can also email us, everyone at ingamechat.net. We are on ingamechat.net. Just go there, and you'll find us. I know it's the .net thing might throw you off. It's not .com. Couldn't get a .com, but we got a .net. Should look into that, see if I can get a .com. But then I have to change all this other stuff, and I ain't web savvy on that thing. So... we've been net for how many years now? This says season 19.
Been a minute.
So maybe 19 years?
Yeah, pretty much.
We've been .net, so we'll just keep it at .net and be done with it.
If it ain't broke.
I know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, exactly. But, yeah, go to, at In-Game Chat on Twitter and Blue Sky. We are on Facebook. Everyone at InGameChat.net is our email address. And we're on Twitch right now. Go to Twitch.tv. Type in In-Game Chat, you'll be able to find us, or go to our website, go all the way to the bottom, click the link. There we are, and of course we got Discord as well. You can jump in there and chat with us, not only on the air, but also in the chat room, or in the, you know, whatever those things are on Discord. So yeah, but yeah, we're on Twitch right now, hanging out in the chat room, doing the show. RJ,
yeah.
What have you played?
Let's see. More the standard fare, really, but the only different thing I've played, really, I've got back into the Division 2 on PS4.
Okay.
I was trying to get back into that and see what has changed since the last time I played it, and a bunch has changed, a whole bunch of DLC, more stuff, the things have been added to it. And unfortunately, I think you and I have both been in this position before, played a game that we haven't touched in so long, and we forget controls and where to go and
muscle
how to do things
away,
and everything
yeah.
like that. Yeah. So I know there was folks playing online, but at all the places I went to, there was barely anybody present. So they're probably all in the new stuff, but I don't know where the new stuff is. But for the most part, I was just trying to get reacclimated to everything going on in that game, getting used to the weapons and things. I really missed the shooting, how shooting felt in that game, especially with my favorite weapon, the 1886, because it reminded me so much of the scout rifles in our days when we used to play Destiny.
Oh, in the old Destiny days?
Yeah. Something I could shoot clear across the map and hit my target with it.
Let me interrupt you real quick, because yep. I totally forgot to do this. It's early enough that I can catch it later. So, yeah.
Good job. Better late than never, right?
Well, the further in you get, the harder it is to find it.
Yeah, that's right, because you said in this like second hour, the thing starts to like separate for some reason with the...
Yeah. Do it in the second segment will really throw me off. So I have to do it in the first segment, and I totally, you know... I was checking Twitch, and nobody put a thing up there like they normally do to tell me to do the thing. Bama Brian, where you at? I actually don't know if he's in the chat room or not. So, but go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No. You're good. But, like I was saying, just spent the most part trying to get reacclimated to everything. Did some missions here and there. Still getting into the swing of things, learning how to take out certain enemies. Certain enemies you got to take out different than others, of course, and trying to remember after deaths. Left and right in there, I finally figured it out, so I was able to get everything going the way I used to.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, but like I said, that was what I played for the most part. Everything else pretty much the same, the usual GTA, Virtua Fighter 5, and Division 2.
Yeah, not much for me either. Marvel Snap, a little bit more of Is the Seat Taken, I think,
mm-hmm.
and I believe that is that's it. I can't really think of anything else that I would have plugged in and tried to play. That bug off the microphone. Not much, really. Still, you know, still searching for that game. What was I thinking about the other day? I don't remember. I was thinking about a game that I was like, oh, yeah, you know what? I could play that one as an interim. That would get me through, because I know I'm going to like that, but I don't remember what it was.
So, did you ever break down what genre would get you into the... game that'll tide you over?
I don't really want it to be open world, so that's why I really haven't fired up stuff like Red Dead 2
So not a time sink, just something to keep you occupied for a good
You know, just something that's got a nice story that I can sit in through and play a couple of, you know, play a couple of things every now and again. I mean, I know Spider-Man's or Spider-Man 2 is open world, but
Yeah, that's a combination I don't really see together. Story-based game, but not a time sink.
Yeah.
Unless it's one of those, maybe a short indie title or something like that, maybe.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like a platformer I could do. Like I could start up, you know. I think it was a Pac-Man game I was thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure. I can't remember what it was. But it was just something where it's like, you know what? I could do that. Maybe get back into Blotro or something like that. Just something to hold me over, I guess, until, man, these bugs in here.
Some leaf food in here again?
Yes. it's in this trash can right over here, which is where it should be, but at the same time, there's food in here.
Yeah, janitorial didn't come. Okay, never mind.
We don't have janitorial. We are our janitorial.
Yeah.
We shrunk so small we didn't need janitorial. It's like you do it yourself. Yeah. Which we do.
Well, maybe you can get back. Maybe you can try those. Speaking of Pac-Man Championship Edition, try to hit the leaderboard.
Right, you know,
again.
Something that I can do that's in that vein. It's like, hey, that's a good little chaser I can try now and again. You know, and it's been a minute since I played it, and I always enjoyed it. It's something to hold me over until I know in October when Ball X Pit comes out. I know I'll be all over that when that gets released.
Yeah.
But the interim in between, like something to hold me over, maybe if it's like I said, Spider-Man could be it, where I could just play a little. What Spider-Man could do, now, a big open world game like Assassin's Creed, for whatever reason, Assassin's Creed Mirage, and we had news about Mirage. This Mirage is getting some free story DLC. After 2 years of release, it's getting some free, a brand new location. They're putting Saudi Arabia in the game.
Okay.
And you get, and it's all free DLC for Assassin's Creed Mirage. So there's that. And I've thought about that, but at the same time, I was not feeling it with Assassin's Creed Mirage. I played a good chunk of it, but ultimately was bored by it. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, well, Spider-Man, I could start that up. Spider-Man 2, I could start that up. There's little things you can do around the city. So I could go do one of those, you know, I could just every night plug it in, go do some stuff, maybe a story mission or maybe just a side mission. Mm-hmm. A couple of side missions, do those, be like, all right, I'm good. Something like that. Maybe. It's a possibility. I haven't really decided to get into it just yet. So I don't know. I really don't know. Just nothing's really pulled me in.
Yeah.
So I hope it does, but...
Well, I would say
so far nothing.
Yeah, I would say check the indies on Steam. You're probably going to see something story based.
Well, I go through my backlog on Steam. Yeah. What I'm looking for is not to buy a new game.
Mm-hmm.
Looking into what I have that can hold me over until I buy a new game.
Yeah.
Which you know, outside of, I really haven't looked at release dates to be honest with you to see what's coming up in September. But you know, this is the month you don't really buy into anything. Because Black Friday's right around the corner.
Yeah.
And I realize I'm saying Black Friday for November, and and this is August. But...
Look, we got places thinking about
you
Christmas.
Yeah,
you got places pulling up Christmas stuff already.
But you can hold off. Yeah. You can absolutely hold off on buying a game until then to see if it makes a drop in price. And so... Yeah, at the moment, though, I'm not even thinking about it because there's nothing out there that's like, ooh, I want that. Yeah, I'll hold off because Black Friday's coming around.
Yeah.
I'm not on the fence on it.
I think the only one I'm thinking about right now is Art of Vengeance.
For you, yeah.
For me, Shinobi. Art of Vengeance is what I'm thinking about right now.
That might be, yeah, you might could hold off on that and get it cheaper. I don't know. That's not a DLC, but it's a...
Digital.
Yeah, it's a digital-only title.
Digital-only title.
You're likely not to see that.
Except the limited runs... physical copy.
Are you going for that? Because I know how you are with physicals.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it, but I don't know if I'm past the expiration date. They have a limit on when you can put a pre-order.
You can order. Well, the other thing is that is digital only, and outside of Steam, you're probably not going to see that drop in price.
Yeah.
For you just don't see digital. They do have sales. It's not much, especially for newer stuff in the digital realm.
Yeah,
but you
compare,
do see sales.
Yeah, it doesn't compare to the sales that was on physical media back in the day. So
yeah.
Digitals don't drop too much.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I just haven't had my eye on anything that is upcoming release outside of Ball X Pit. That's it. And I hate that title. I wish it was called something else because I hate calling it Ball X Pit. I just call it Ball Pit. Mm-hmm. That Mortal Kombat Legacy Collection is looking nice.
Yeah.
Did you see the reveals that they had this week?
I saw a bunch of titles they put on there, but...
Dude, it's a bunch.
I know, but I've played a lot of them already. But yeah, a good compilation, conveniently all stuffed in one program, yeah.
Yeah, it's really good. And if my computer were faster... Jeez, it took forever.
Yeah.
Just to give me the suggestion, I had to type in MK space L, and little rainbow wheel was going forever there. Like, yeah. I'm gonna get there, but no, we have like, oh god, man, let's go through it. All the stuff that is in there, and it is a ton. So you have the original Mortal Kombat.
Mm-hmm.
You get the arcade version in this one, the SNES version, the Genesis version, the Game Boy version, and the Game Gear version. For Mortal Kombat 2, arcade, SNES, Genesis, Game Boy, and 32X.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For Mortal Kombat 3, you get the arcade, the SNES, and the Genesis. For the Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3, you get the arcade and the SNES version. For Mortal Kombat Trilogy, you get the PlayStation 1 version. For Mortal Kombat 4, you get arcade. You're also getting PS1 versions of Mortal Kombat Mythologies Sub-Zero, mm-hmm. which I thought was great that they added that in there, and Mortal Kombat Special Forces, which I never played. That's in there. Mortal Kombat Advance, which is the Game Boy Advance version. Mortal Kombat Deadly Alliance is also the Game Boy Advance version, and the Mortal Kombat Tournament Edition is also the Game Boy Advance version. There is something else in there that got a huge, massive amount of chat. You know what I'm saying? Like a lot of talk.
Yeah.
And do you know, it's the WaveNet. I don't know if you're familiar with that. It's the WaveNet arcade version of Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3.
Hmm.
The WaveNet version was an online version in arcades back then. But you had to have like a T1 line. And this is going back early, or this is mid to late 90s, maybe?
No.
When was Mortal Kombat 3? 1995. Mm-hmm. You're talking mid 90s for the WaveNet version. And there were a lot of differences in the WaveNet version. The WaveNet version had a code for you to play as Noob Saibot. You had to pick Kano. And then before you got to the level screen, you had to input a code.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could play as, you know, the grayed out character whose moveset was still Kano's. I have no idea what the big deal was, but, you know, you could unlock him. Anyway, it was a big, big deal. It did not last very long because of the fact that it had a T1 connection or needed a T1 connection. There were like two places that had them. Chicago had it as a test place, and I think some other really big city had it, and I don't know what the other two cities were.
Mm.
There it is. WaveNet, an abbreviation for Williams Action Video Entertainment Network, WAVE, was a planned network version of the game that allowed for online multiplayer machines. It was tested only in the Chicago and San Francisco areas that used a dedicated T1 line connected directly to Midway's Chicago headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
It is highly unlikely that any WaveNet test games were ever released to the public after the infrastructure was dismantled, and so there are no known ROM image dumps of this version. One of the reasons this version was not widely adopted was the cost of T1 lines at the time. The setup cost several $1,000s per arcade installation, plus a few $100s for each cabinet using the hardware. Williams' plan was to use WaveNet to upload new games and game updates, which they would provide to arcade owners for free in exchange for a cut of the game's revenues. The WaveNet version was later re-released for the very first time, coming up in Mortal Kombat Legacy Collection compilation. So, reading forums and threads and everything else, they call that the holy grail of lost MK media, was that WaveNet version.
Mm.
And so now you're getting that in the Legacy Collection. That is something that I am absolutely interested in, but will likely pick up down the road.
Yeah, much later.
I'm not really a, I don't, you know, I want that collection? Absolutely do. Do I want that collection at launch? No. I don't need that.
Yeah, you've. I think you said before you like watching the competition in fighting games, but actually playing them.
Yeah, but so Mortal Kombat was the fighter that I played in arcades.
Yeah,
that got me there. Street Fighter never got me there. Virtua Fighter never got me there. Primal Rage never got me there. Killer Instinct never got me there.
Yeah.
Tekken was one that I did play.
Okay.
But that was after I had played Mortal Kombat.
Mm-hmm.
So Tekken was the other one that I played as far as your fighters were concerned.
Okay.
And so Mortal Kombat was the first one because it looked so great.
Yeah.
You know, when you walk into the arcade, I was like, well, it looks like it's never getting better than this. Every time I saw something that was amazing to me, my mind goes to, boy, I think we've peaked.
Yeah.
No, we really had not. So what's weird to me, and this Legacy Collection will help me piece this together, but it felt like as the games went further, like as they kept adding numbers to the end, you know, Mortal Kombat 3, Ultimate, Mortal Kombat 4.
Right.
They looked less and less as good as they originally did, which can't be the case, right? But they started looking, for whatever reason, Mortal Kombat, the original to me, looked really good. It looked like these were just photo scans of people.
Yeah, digitized actors.
Digitized actors. Yeah. But as you got further, I was like, these don't look like digitized actors anymore. These look like sprites on the screen. Mm-hmm. From just like you would see in something like a Tekken or Street Fighter.
The first one looked really realistic in terms of the
at the time and compared to everything else, it looked hyper realistic to me.
And then two, the same motion capture, but it looked cartoonier as opposed to the original.
And it only kept getting that way.
It kept getting that way. And then it got to 4, and it was complete polygons and pixels at that point.
And I want to say it might have been because of the backgrounds, too, the stages.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the first one, the stages seemed digitized, like places that they had or whatever the case were, they were digitized. And then, of course, as you got on, it was more of here they are fighting in front of a portal in the background. Here they are fighting in the subway that doesn't look like a subway or you know, the lava pit or whatever, all these different things that they had. And I don't know. That's just me and my memory going, man, the first one looked really good. The second one, it looked good. But it started going in that direction, and then from there on out, it was like, oh, man, they're dropping the realism or whatever, the realistic look that I'm saying about a guy that shoots ice from his hands or, anything else.
We get what you mean.
So, I guess
more fantastical elements was added in as it went
seemingly, and it kind of lost the realism of whatever I had for realism at that time, so... Mm-hmm. But that's just that again. That's just a memory I had. So, God, we got a lot to talk about here. And Gamescom itself, we had opening night live that hit on Tuesday, I believe it was. And God, these things are long. It was like 3 hours, I think, again of game announcements.
With a bunch of filler.
We'll go over them, and I can tell you what was filler or not, or maybe if I can remember. There was a lot of stuff that did not interest me. There was a lot of stuff that looked cool. There was one particular thing, and I'll be separating that from that, and it's Lego Batman, which we've had Lego Batman for a while now. But this looks different. And we'll talk about it if you happen to see the trailer for it and everything else. We'll talk about that coming up as well. But we have Gamescom to go over. Just a bunch of stuff. Silk Song, which I would love to, I would love to feel what everybody else feels about the fact that Hollow Knight Silk Song is finally getting a release date, finally coming out. I can't relate to it. I guess it would be like if a Burnout was going to be coming out, but I can't. I never played the first one, so I just know people have been clamoring for it, and now that they have it, I feel great for them, but I don't. There's no empathy there to know what it's like. Not that it's something that I don't care about. I'm glad that they have it. I'm glad it's out there and that it's coming out and that I can play it or whatever whenever I get around to it. So, it wasn't for me what it was for everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So Yeah, we got price hikes on PlayStation 5s. We talking about that. We got people who are leaving games. We got people who are coming in to start working on games. Bunch of different stuff to go over. But that Gamescom thing is going to take a while to get through. And in fact, we'll just go ahead and take our break here. We'll come back and we'll start the Gamescom recap of everything that we saw coming up here in just a bit. What is today? Is this the new one? Is this the new stuff this week? What did we do? Did we do classic last week or did we do new stuff last week? I'm having a hard time remembering.
I don't think it was classic.
You think it was classic last week?
I don't think it was classics.
I think it was because it was racing games.
Okay.
Remember I had Rad Racer in there and I was talking about
Rad
Racer?
Right, yeah. Okay.
Yes, it was. And we had Battletoads to end it because it was the tunnel thing. All right, good. So now we're in new stuff. This is the main, I think we're still in January of this year for the releases. This is from Sniper Elite Resistance. It is the main theme of that game. Love my Sniper Elite. That might be something I could jump into.
Yeah.
Because I have Sniper Elite. Yeah. I don't have Resistance, but I have whatever was before that, which I guess was 5 maybe or something. I don't know.
I know I got 3 and 4 from free from PSN. And yeah, that probably would.
That might do it for me.
Because each mission takes time.
It does.
It's not a run and gun type game.
It does.
So, yeah.
And it's also mouse and keyboard, which I don't know. I should really try out my mouse and keyboard chops just to give it a go and see how they do. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's what this is from, Sniper Elite Resistance. We'll be back with more of in-game chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. That's music from Luck Be a Landlord. It's called Banana Beats. All right, so Gamescom was this Tuesday, or at least it's called Opening Night Live. It's another Jeff Keighley event thing that he does, where he spends 3 hours either chit-chatting or showing trailers that have no gameplay, which I'm all for announcement trailers. I'm all for, you know, if your announcement trailer, I really don't expect gameplay, but, you know, that's one of those things. The only way you can get away with not showing gameplay and pull my interest in is if you're just announcing the game. So it's like, okay, something to look for a year or 2 years from now.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the announcement. And we saw this with one game, and I don't remember which one it was, but if you're a sequel, you know, Call of Duty Black Ops 7. God, I can't believe we're at number 7 in that. But Call of Duty Black Ops 7, you can show me all the non-gameplay stuff you ever want to. Not because I'm not interested in it, but because I know what the gameplay of Call of Duty is. you don't have to show us gameplay.
Yeah.
You know?
It'd be like me for saying MLB The Show. I know what I'm getting.
You don't need gameplay from
yeah.
it. You know? I mean, unless the step up in visuals is just so amazing that it's like, that's when you put, this is actual gameplay and you show mm-hmm. it off. But, you know, Call of Duty Black Ops 7, we got that. Lords of the Fallen 2 got a that was another, I think it was Lords of the Fallen 2. Mm-hmm. What they were showing did not look like gameplay at all. And I said, the only way this can work is if this is a sequel, because I'm not seeing anything here.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, it was Lords of the Fallen 2, a game that I never played Lords of the Fallen 1 with, but we didn't need, you know. Then we got, I guess, an announcement or a trailer for mm-hmm. Sekiro.
Mm-hmm.
The anime version, which will be on, what, Crunchyroll, I guess?
Yeah.
Any interest in that from you? Are you, where do you stand when games go into the, like, hey, let's expand the medium into... specifically anime.
Have respect for the source material.
Yeah, like first Castlevania was pretty good.
Yeah, Castlevania was pretty good like that. Not so much for Devil May Cry.
Really? You didn't like Devil May Cry?
A little off on that. They went some directions that I didn't care for, but I'm probably in the minority. But
I will say I enjoyed Devil May Cry, but I'm not educated in the story of Devil May Cry.
Yeah, it's like... I'll give you an example. Do you remember that live-action Max Payne with Mark Wahlberg?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. One of my coworkers liked the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe they liked the movie because they had no exposure to the source material that came from.
They didn't have a connection to the
game. They had no connection to the source material that came from. So that was like probably what I was going through with Devil May Cry on that one. But, yeah, if you just have... respect for the source material, I believe you're going to do mm-hmm. Pretty good. It's when you start going into that veering off fan fiction level stuff is where you start running into problems.
Right.
Just if it's something that you couldn't put in, just make it slight. Don't go off the rails with it.
Yeah, well, that brings me back to Arcane.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any experience with the game.
Right.
None. With League of Legends.
Mm-hmm.
But Arcane, Season 1 is fantastic. Season 2 is not as good as Season 1, but it's still up there. And, of course, they only did 2 seasons of that show.
Was it because 2 didn't raise it up to the level that you... was it not what you... did not meet your expectations?
It wasn't as good as the first season, I'll say that.
Yeah.
Which is strange, because the first season, I had no...
I guess I'm trying to say, did season one set the bar too high for season two to...
I would say yeah, because, I mean, I expected when I came back to it, I was like, this, you know, I'm expecting some really good... And it was good. It was good.
Mm-hmm.
But it had a high bar to reach from mm-hmm. what season one had done.
Okay.
Season one did really, really good. And there are parts of season two that stand with season one. Mm-hmm. But as an overall, it didn't quite get there.
Mm-hmm.
But you had a great story in season one, which you were going through, and season two just felt like it was trying to kind of replicate that, and in parts it did, and in some parts it just didn't meet that, but it was still good overall. Mm-hmm. It still, understand that I put Arcane season one like way up on the bar.
Yeah.
Way, way up on the bar, both in animation, both in storytelling, all of it, just the bar set really, really high. And... Season 2 didn't meet that bar, but it came very close. So, put it that way. It was not... It still wasn't bad. It just didn't match what Season 1 had.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
But it was really good.
Yeah.
So, Arcane is in there as far as that's concerned with that. And I think we're supposed to be getting an announcement soon for the anime version of Splinter Cell that Netflix is working on.
Hmm.
Okay. I know that... The official Ubisoft channels reported about something on it. And I believe maybe a trailer leaked, but I hadn't seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, apparently an announcement was supposed to be coming up or made, but has not been done yet. Then we got an announcement for LEGO Batman. LEGO Batman Legacy of the Dark Knight. Legacy of the Dark Knight covers the entire career of Batman from... origins to legend, There's decades of lore here, and it looks like the studio has taken the best moments from games, comics, TV shows, and more in order to make a proper love letter to the IP as a whole. I wouldn't expect anything less from the LEGO games, though. You can also drive about an open-world Gotham in your choice of Batmobile. It is being developed by Traveler's Tales, or TT Games, and there's a demo on the show floor. Release date was not... Yeah, we don't have a release date for it yet, and I'm going to get into that a little bit separately when we later on in the show here. But just to kind of sum it up, if I'm not going to get a Rocksteady Batman game, then I'll take a LEGO Batman game with the Rocksteady mechanics. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get to that a little bit later. But this is not your regular LEGO Batman title. He's got three of them now, I think, or more.
Mm.
And this one is not going in that direction. It's still your LEGO game, but it's got combat. Your other LEGO games had combat too, but I mean, it's got the Arkham combat baked into it.
Hmm.
Both in the stealth stuff, both in the whatever, the hand-to-hand stuff that you would do.
Yeah.
It's got all of that in there. Bless them for doing it. Bless them for doing it. I don't know when we're getting that game, but I am absolutely down for more Arkham-style Batman. Dawn of War 4 was announced with a cinematic trailer. This is why a lot of it didn't resonate with me.
Yeah.
So far, what I've gone over is just one thing I enjoyed, and that was LEGO Batman. So there's Dawn of War, Monster Hunter Wilds. We're on a roll with something that's just not interesting to me.
Mm.
Onimusha. Mm-hmm. Way of the Sword, that looks really good. Looks really, really good. I don't remember being a fan, but that looked really, really good. Demon X Machina, I believe. I'm probably saying it wrong. Again, not something that I play, but that got announced. We saw the trailer for Fallout Season 2, which is coming out December 17th on Amazon Prime. We got DLC announcement for Indiana Jones and the Order of Giants. More gameplay from that. But also announcement that this is the first Microsoft game to be released on a Nintendo system. Indiana Jones is going to be on the Switch 2.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I don't want to say it's a big deal, but this is it. This is where, you know, this is when Microsoft gets, it's on PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's on Nintendo. Microsoft is committed to doing the, hey, if you've got a machine, we want you to play the games. Regardless of which machine you're using, we want you to play the games. And
that's
so they're releasing
it. My first concern, though, is will it look good?
On the Switch 2, probably. The Switch, no, obviously. But the Switch 2, yeah. The Switch 2 is pushing a PS4 or a PS4 Pro.
Okay.
Is comparable to that.
Okay.
So it's not going to look as good as it does on the PS5 or on the Series X.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not going to be so much of a downgrade that you're going to be disappointed playing it on the Switch 2 if that's what you've got.
It's not going to be a Mortal Kombat 1.
No. Okay. No, not at all. I mean, it's not released yet, so we don't know, but I don't feel that it will at all. What else did we get? A lot of other stuff. Well, you got more of the Deadpool VR, which I don't have the VR. World of Tanks was getting an update of World of Tanks 2.0. New trailer for John Carpenter's Toxic Commando coming in early 2026. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Then we had Death by Scrolling. It's a vertically scrolling RPG roguelike that sees you struggling through purgatory to stay one step ahead of the Grim Reaper. And there are 5 playable characters with their own unique perks. The gameplay looks like a mix of Vampire Survivors, Enter the Gungeon, and classic Zelda. It's also being developed by Ron Gilbert of Maniac Mansion and Monkey Island fame. That alone probably has enough people saying, like, I want to keep an eye on this.
Mm.
Just because Gilbert's involvement. But yeah, Death by Scrolling also looked really good. What else do we have coming out? Zero, I don't know how to pronounce this, Zero Parodies?
Hmm.
Not exactly sure what that was going to be. Unbeatable final trailer, that is a, what is that? It's an anime-inspired rhythm game and published by PlayStack. There was another new anime gacha game, Neverness to Everness, and a boss battle for Honor of King's World. These all look like they were mobile games that are getting console releases. We got a story trailer for Ninja Gaiden 4. Silent Hill F, or is it Fugue? I don't know.
Hmm.
But it got a brand new trailer.
Yeah.
Moonlighter 2 got a release date. October the 23rd for that one. Outer Worlds 2 got a companion trailer. Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 got DLC trailer. Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2 finally showed got shown, and this is a game that was delayed constantly, or I think at least twice maybe, and now it's getting released, but there was some ick on that game. And I've got to find it in our news here where I talk about it. Yeah, here it is. Apparently, access to other clans is paywalled? Here's the article coming from Rock Paper Shotgun. You really have to hand it to the publishers of Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2. They are the absolute masters of snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. Stepping on rakes, even as they near the checkered flag. The long-awaited RPG got a new trailer and what may actually prove to be the final release date at Gamescom. The trailer has a feisty show of Dishonored-esque mayhem, and the hands-on verdicts I've read have been positive. But then came the revelation that this much-delayed sequel to a quintessentially faction-led RPG from a company famous for downloadable add-ons would sell two of its vampire clans as day-one DLC. How we laughed. How we clutched our faces and chittered like gerbils. How we ran outside begging for the moon to fall on our heads. Despair springs anew.
Mm-hmm.
He caught up, their reporter caught up with current and hopefully final Bloodlines 2 developers, the Chinese Room, in person yesterday, and much like a parent coaxing a child away from a poisonous snake, casually asked them, "What's the thinking behind splitting off two of the clans as DLC?" The answer, broadly, is that the new clans represent additional work on top of the Chinese Room's original plans for the game, sometimes at Paradox request, Paradox Interactive being the publishers. So it's fair to flog those bits separately. As for releasing the DLC alongside the main game, which naturally suggests that it could be sold as part of the main game, a PR person told the reporter in not so many words that they don't want players to have to wait. Narrative director Ian Thomas attempted to spell it all out, quoting, "It's worthwhile saying that the game, well, I've only been on the game, I think, for 2.5 years, but during that period, we've had huge cycles of what are the player base thinking? What are they asking for? How does that fit in? What does the early alpha testing say? And what are they actually asking for?" So we've made a huge amount of changes over that time based on that cycle, if you like, including a massive amount of story content and features and all the rest of it. So we've been expanding it from where we originally planned to land it. I think constantly, and Paradox have been really good when we go, or when the clients go, or when Paradox go, we should add a bit more here. Let's push the date back. As you know, the date has been pushed back. But that has been to fatten it out into something that we feel does land where the players want it. According to Thomas, the Chinese Room are still adding additional content even over the last few weeks. The extra clan material and associated story bits fall into this rubric of post-concept fattening. So do certain character customization features like hairstyles, piercings, tattoos, that sort of thing. The original Bloodline shipped with 7 vampire clans, including one of the clans, Bloodlines 2, wants to paywall. They appear to be very different games, however. So, yeah. I don't know. That's fine. I'm not big into that. I'm curious about it because I remember seeing some of Bloodlines and kind of liking what I saw. But this was also way back when we kind of thought it was coming out a whole lot sooner than now.
Mm-hmm.
So, and by now, I don't know. Did we get a date on that? It's not saying that we did. So, anyway. What did we get? World of Warcraft, Midnight, got a I mean, Blizzard cinematics are fantastic. Maybe not the games, but the Blizzard cinematics are just... the cinematics you get for WoW, the cinematics you get for Diablo, good, good stuff.
You can make a movie out of it.
I mean, you really could. Those guys should do some, I mean...
Have they? Like a 30-minute video or something like that?
I'm not sure. There are people who may have made some edits to make them look like that. In other words, grab a bunch of the videos that lead into the game or that are within the game and make movies out of those things, or at least extended things that you can watch. But I don't know. But their cinematics are just top-notch.
Yeah.
May not represent the game, but their cinematics are great. Ghost of Yote. We saw another trailer for that, talking about some DLC post-launch. That's coming out in October, I believe, right? I think so. Yes. Resident Evil Requiem. That is launching February 27th of 2026. We got some footage of that, gameplay of that as well. That was interesting.
Didn't remember who the protagonist was, but yeah, Ashcroft. Okay.
Yeah.
I remember that name, yeah.
And then finally, at the end there, we got the sequel to Black Myth Wukong. It'll be Black Myth, I don't know how to pronounce it, Zhang Kui?
Zhang Kui.
Yeah, Zhang Kui. Looks like they're just... Looks like Black Myth is going to be the series, and each time they'll be picking a different mythological... Japanese mythological... I don't know, is it a creature? Being?
Figure.
Thing? Yeah, mythological figure.
Yeah.
To focus on.
Yeah.
And so that's who you're getting in the next one. Again, no gameplay in that, just a trailer. Very strange, and I don't know if this article mentions it. Reading here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't mention it. So the weird thing is that this trailer opens with these two guys who are in hiding, and they're talking to each other. They're very scared because they're hiding from somebody, or somebody's coming through, or whatever. The main character's coming through, and these people are giants compared to these actual humans. The weird thing was that these two very Japanese-looking men had, like, British Cockney accents.
Mm-hmm.
That's very strange. Maybe it's told in the story. I have no idea as to why, but it just didn't seem to fit. But maybe there's a story reason as to why. I don't know. But when they were talking, visually, I was getting... Yes, that looks like where they're from, you know, Asia of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Vocally, that does not match. But there could be a story reason behind it. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
This was just a teaser. That's all we got. It was an announcement, so we didn't get gameplay, but it's also based on a sequel. However, if it's based on a sequel, I don't think we'll be playing as... Who was in the first one? The monkey. Right?
Son something.
He was a monkey, right?
Yeah, the Monkey King.
The Monkey King. That's what I was trying to think of. Not necessarily the actual name. I was just trying to remember his title. The Monkey King. Will we be playing as him in the sequel?
Well, I don't just know. Said it's going to be a different mythological figure.
Right,
so.
Which makes me think, so we have a new protagonist, right?
Yeah.
I guess.
I would think. If it's going in another direction, have another protagonist.
Oh, we've had some chat. You're looking this up, but we've had some chat in the chat room, as it were. Yeah, COD 7, the campaign has four-player co-op this time. That's good. Co-op's great.
Mm-hmm.
Thar says, never played a Lego game, but might get this one.
Let's see. Based on the protagonist, Sun Wukong. So, for Black Myth Wukong.
Yeah. Okay. I was right, the button does nothing.
Something I was thinking about with the the Bloodlines 2 thing.
Yeah.
You remember when Konami had Metal Gear Survive and you had to pay $10 for a save slot?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Is that how the clans being separated went over with the player base, you think?
Maybe. I didn't really read up a lot on that.
Or possibly. They said they were looking at players and how they responded to what they put out. Was the demand so high for these different clans that they thought they could make a little extra money on it and make it?
I don't necessarily know that the player base was upset over the specific clans that were being included. I think they were just upset over the fact of, wait, you're throwing in clans as DLC or as paid DLC at launch when we could just have it in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bug again.
It's like the fighting games now. You got a roster, and then Season 2 comes out, the more to the roster, Season 3, and then
that's
more
fine.
To the
roster, that's seasons.
Something like that, yeah.
You know, I get that. That's seasons, you're planning on it, that sort of thing, but at the
from
main
the
release.
From
yeah.
the get-go, yeah.
So, what else do we have? Thar says, what do you guys think of the Rogue Xbox Ally X? It looks great, but too bad it's probably over $1,000 in Canada. They didn't announce a price, if I remember. I think they announced a release date, but I don't think they announced a price on that machine. And yeah, Thar, WoW may still be bad for 20 years now, but again, the cinematics are great. They're really, really good with their cinematics. And I'm surprised we got through that as easy as we did with the Gamescom announcements. So,
yeah, this is just a brief little summary and all the stuff.
I mean, it was a brief summary. It felt like there was a lot more than that when I was watching the thing.
Yeah. But you're right. There was so much they talked about, but nothing got you excited, really. Except
not
one
really.
One or two. But hadn't that been the case with a lot of game shows like that?
You know, maybe. I think so. I mean, obviously, when we were going over Summer Games Fest,
yeah,
whenever he was doing that, that was way too long. It was 3 hours again, I think. Mm-hmm. Three and a half hours.
Yep.
And, yeah, these things. And now the Game Awards, which I guess is our next thing coming up in December.
Mm.
And we'll have that. Now, in between that time, you're going to have some Nintendo Directs. You're going to have a PlayStation State of Play or whatever those things are called.
Short little 20-minute things.
Yeah, you'll get those in between some of that.
Yeah.
I believe PlayStation easily will do something for Ghosts of Yoti.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid bug. I'm going to, you know, during the break, whatever, I'm going to go on a rampage. Smack this thing. I don't want to smack anything else, but I'm smacking this thing. Get him out of here. I was going to go over this this Batman Lego game. And I think I will when we come back, because we only got about 2 minutes until the top of the hour here. So when we come back, I'll go over a little bit more detail about the Batman Lego game. We'll talk about the PlayStation 5 price hike at stores, which went into effect this week. We might talk a little bit about that whole situation with the Rogue Ally, maybe. Everything that I've read about it seems like it's really, really good, but it's going to be the price that makes or break that thing, or makes or breaks it. And the fact that people already have a lot of their handheld devices with Switch 2s, Steam Decks, the original Rogue Ally as well. So we'll talk about that. The firings, the hirings. More of that all coming up. We're going to go to a break here, and we're going to go to a game that came out again back in January. I played the demo of it. I guess it's an RPG type thing. It's called Keep Driving, where you get in your car and you just drive, and you have to stop, maybe pick people up, maybe get gas, but you got to manage your money, your time, all this stuff, but it all takes place in a car, and it's all pixelated graphics. So, anyway, this is called Keep Driving, or the game is called Keep Driving. The track is called End and Begin. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back into Endgame Chat. This is music from Kingdom Come Deliverance 2. Name of this track is St. Barbara Church. So welcome back into the show. Talking about the Batman game, the Lego Batman game. Lego Batman Legacy of the Dark Knight. Has all the usual Lego stuff where you can play as different versions of Batman while you're also fighting different versions of his enemies. You can pick a number of different Batman vehicles to drive around levels in. Different outfits that you can change in on the fly. Mm-hmm. All sorts of different stuff there. It's sort of a mix and match and a hodgepodge from different movies, different games as well. The combat, of course, is inspired by the Arkham series. You can now perform stealth takedowns or jump into the middle of a brawl with the timing-based combat that they would do. Let's see, it says the timing windows are wider, and the visual indicators are bigger than the Arkham games, and you only have two gadgets to use in fights, but it feels like an affectionate homage to mechanics that have become as central to the character as any movie in the minds of the Arkham fans, of course. It also introduces difficulty levels, letting younger or less experienced players fight while giving more experienced Arkham fans more and tougher enemies to fight, and for the first time, a limited pool of lives to spend on encounters. The hub world is a wide-open Gotham City that can be explored freely. You can stop crimes, find bat caches, smash collectibles like penguin rubber duckies, and sulk along the rooftops or gracefully glide between them. You can zip line your way up to gain speed and then float. And if you built up enough energy from beating down thugs, you can launch even higher into the air to get a bird's eye view of the city. If going ground level is more your style, you can summon a Batmobile anywhere in the open world. The muscle car was the only one this guy got to demo. However, we have seen the Tumbler in there. Mm-hmm. As well. Says, I don't nearly know what to expect next out of TT Games after the Skywalker saga, but Legacy of the Dark Knight is such a pleasant surprise. When you're finished building a Lego set, you might take it apart and see what else you could make from all the pieces. Traveler's Tales Games looks to be doing that with the Batman mythos, and I can't wait to see what they build out of it. That line right there, when you're finished building a Lego set, you might take it apart and see what else you could make? No. When I'm finished building a Lego set, it goes on a shelf. It's not a puzzle, you know? Mm-hmm. It's not something that you build and you let sit on the table for a while and then you take it down, put it back in the box for some other rainy day when you want to build a puzzle. No.
Yeah, the collector sculpture type things, yeah, you would do that with. But with the smaller ones, the literal toys, Yeah, you would take it apart and say, just let your curiosity go and see what happens if you put this with this.
Yeah.
And then expand from there. But the ones that are the sculptures you're talking about, how many pieces those things are?
Yeah, I know. You're looking in the thousands
of pieces.
Yeah.
Okay, but the ones I'm talking about are like maybe 20.
Yeah, or like under 100.
Under 100. Yeah, you can take that apart and put it back together in no time. That the other one you're talking about? Yeah, that takes time.
It does.
Yeah, so no.
And I do not take them apart when I'm done to see what else I can build out of them. That's just, no, I don't do that. Put them up on the shelf. God, I miss building Legos, let me tell you. Got that Lego Game Boy coming out in October.
Mm-hmm.
And I just saw something today. And I'm going to pull it up on my phone so that I can read you the description of what I saw. Starting September 8th, on the Lego store website.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the price that they give here is not in
cash.
Well, it's not in our money. I don't know what this, I don't know what this symbol is.
I want to say, is that pounds? Euros?
It looks like a C with a line through it.
C with two lines, yeah.
Yeah, C with two lines through it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I sent you this. Did you see this?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, a Sega Genesis Mega Drive controller.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime you purchase whatever that price is, and I don't know, it's 130 C with two lines through it. Are you looking that up right now? Are you trying to find it?
I want to say it's pounds, but I could be wrong. But if I'm not, about $176.
Wow.
I think, if I'm right.
That's a lot. I'm looking in the comments on this to see if there was anybody that kind of did the conversion, but I don't see that.
Euros.
So it's euros?
Okay, it's euros.
What's the conversion?
130 euros.
Is that somebody in the chat room's like, hey, it's euros.
153.
$150 gets you a Sega Genesis Lego controller.
Mm-hmm.
That's not bad because, look, most of the Lego sets cost a ridiculous amount of money anyway.
Yeah.
The surprising thing was that Game Boy set was a lot cheaper than what I expected it to be. But there is a rumor of, and they don't call it the Black Pearl. They call it Jack Sparrow's ship from pirate ship from Pirates of the Caribbean.
Is that a copyright thing or something?
I'm not sure. A lot of people in the comments on Reddit that posted that were talking about, like, why don't they just call it the Black Pearl? But they're not calling it the Black Pearl for some reason.
Yeah,
anyway,
the Black Pearl would be a little more recognizable. Than,
yeah. But it's a good looking pirate ship. I love Lego ships. I talked about the Endurance, which is an actual ship, but the Black Pearl I would absolutely love to have as well. Keep going with the pirate themed if you'd like to do that. Those big ships, I love them, and I would love to build more of them in Lego. Anyway, that's looking to go for about $380. So right there, I'd have that.
Mm. What's the scale on that thing?
I don't know. I'd have to look at it, like pieces and stuff. It was a rumor, so I'm not sure.
That's what, yeah, I'm thinking about scale because you said the Lego Game Boy wasn't as much as you thought it would be.
The price, right.
Price,
correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking it must be a scale thing or something.
Yeah.
I'm thinking going on with that.
But I'm absolutely interested in it. So, that would probably get it. There's also, I think it was announced that same day, it was the Arkham Asylum, the Batman Arkham Asylum set, which is up there in price. But I don't think it's over 150, but maybe right there at it.
Yeah.
175, perhaps, maybe even more than that. I'm not sure. There was the Willy Wonka. There was there's a Willy Wonka Lego set that they're doing that is sort of just, inside the chocolate factory.
Mm-hmm.
Different scenes depicted inside the chocolate factory that they're doing for Lego sets. The best part of it is that you're getting the minifigs, which, Oompa Loompas, sure, that's fine. But, to get a little minifig Gene Wilder is fantastic because it's based on those films, even though it's probably not going to look like Gene Wilder. It doesn't have to. It's the character, and that's just great. So I like the minifigs are great. I don't necessarily want to get into collecting, and I damn sure don't want to get it where it's like, well, that minifig is only available in this set, so you have to spend $380, $400 to get a set that has that in there. Yeah, I don't want to do that.
I was looking at an article about the Lego Sega Genesis controller. The first words in the article is, this better be real.
Mm-hmm. It looks good. It looks real, too.
Yeah, it looks real.
It
does look good, yeah.
It seems like it's real.
Yeah.
Interesting that they're offering it for free with a purchase of, you know, whatever else. That seems strange.
Yeah. What we just talked about. Yeah.
And it'd be really great if they just release
it. Only available if you buy this.
Like just release it so people can buy it. Just do that. But they're not. And I don't know why.
Maybe they don't think it'll sell or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Shenmue 3 is getting an enhanced edition. And also we'll be getting an Xbox version and a Nintendo version for the first time as well. Did you ever pick up Shenmue 3? You played 1 and 2, right?
Yeah.
You did pick up 3.
Yeah.
Did you ever play 3?
No.
Okay.
It's in the backlog along with a lot of other titles. But I did pick it up.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, now you're getting an enhanced version. I don't know much about the enhanced version of it. I'm guessing they're going to update the looks of it and everything else. I don't know if they're enhancing anything about controls or anything you play there, but
Simplified stuff, things like that.
Yeah, I guess maybe. I don't know how simplified you need them to be in Shenmue, but you're getting one. Price hikes on PlayStation 5 here in the U.S. went live this week. I think it happened on Thursday. The 21st? Yeah, happened on Thursday. They raised the retail price of the PlayStation 5 across the board. They all went up by $50. A increase that Sony VP of Global Marketing attributes to a challenging economic environment. It's tariffs. Mm-hmm. PlayStation 5 was $499, now it's $550. PlayStation 5 Digital Edition was $450, now it's $500, same as a PlayStation 5 used to be. Mm. But remember, the Digital Edition does not come with a disc drive. You'd have to buy that separately.
Right. Mm.
And the PlayStation 5 Pro at $699 went up to $750. Mm-hmm. Sony says it's not raising prices on the accessories, like the DualSense controller or the PlayStation Portal. Nor is it raising prices on PS5 consoles outside the U.S. Again, because it's tariffs. This move follows similar price increases from Microsoft and its Xbox consoles, Nintendo, and the original Switch consoles as well. So, those prices are going to be up for those. But you've got yourself a PlayStation 5 already, so good on you.
You did say pick it up before the possibility of price hikes come up, and I followed your advice on that one.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Good that you did.
I played it like 3 times since then.
Don't worry, it's coming, man. Yeah. You've already picked up Lies of P.
Yeah.
So it's there. Yeah, I mean, I know you got Backlog City, but it's there waiting for you.
I just keep adding to the backlog, don't I?
Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm just looking through more stuff here that we had. Talking about BioShock 4, which we've had announced. Well, we haven't had an announcement, I think, of BioShock 4. We know that it's happening.
Yeah.
And Rod Ferguson, he is a veteran AAA games producer. Most recently helmed the Diablo series at Blizzard. Every time I say Diablo, I think of the Diablo sandwich. And a Dr. Pepper. Movie reference for you there, folks.
Mm-hmm.
He is taking over 2K's new BioShock studio, Cloud Chamber. He has been appointed head of the BioShock franchise, which is weird to say that you have a BioShock franchise. Infinite came out in early 2010s? Am I thinking 2011?
Let's see. 2013, March 26th.
Am I thinking 2013? Yeah, so early 2010s is where that would be. And that's it. We haven't had anything since then.
Yeah,
so it's been over 10 years. So to call this, well, he's taken over the BioShock franchise. The last time he had a game was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know you have a franchise, but that was 10 years ago. What are you doing with it?
Yeah, so the last release was on Linux in March of 2015, yeah, for BioShock Infinite.
Yeah, that didn't count.
That doesn't count.
I mean, Linux counts, but I'm saying...
Hey, it's a different release date than the others.
You, hey, haven't released, yeah, you haven't released a new game or DLC since 2013, like you said. Yeah. Although maybe 2014 saw some DLC. I know they released two DLCs for that game.
Mm-hmm.
For Infinite. He's heading up Cloud Chamber, overseeing development of the next BioShock game, along with franchise extensions like the in-development Netflix film. He added, "While I'm excited to get started in the coming weeks, I recognize the studio restructuring is a difficult time for the team. I am deeply grateful for the work done so far. And I'm committed to building a BioShock game we'll be proud of and that our players will love. For now, the fire hose of onboarding awaits, and I look forward to sharing more when I can." Earlier this month, 2K confirmed that Cloud Chamber studio head Kelly Gilmore had left their role, while creative director Hogarth De La Plante, or De La Plante, had been moved to a publishing position. The decision reportedly came after the next BioShock game, which had been in development for several years, failed an internal development review. The appointment of Rod Ferguson is significant, considering that he was brought in to steady the ship of the last BioShock game, BioShock Infinite. That's one game I wish they could go back and do some deep dive documentary about.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to know where and why it changed from what it was. We got gameplay trailers that depicted something completely different than what we ended up with. And they never really explained it. They did say that they were going back to do an overhaul, but they never really explained that, well, we're removing this aspect of it. We're changing this part of it. We're doing. They never went into detail on that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole segment, whole big segment of that whole alternate universe thing that they were working on, where she could open rifts into alternate universes. Elizabeth, I guess, was her name.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Elizabeth.
You could open rifts into alternate universes and all these other things, and there was a whole segment there that they had planned and that people saw and reported on, and we had it out there for a while, and then radio silence for a long time,
mm-hmm.
and then new gameplay emerged, and it was different than what we had seen. And it ended up being the game that we would eventually play.
Yeah.
With that other stuff completely gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, really wish we had some explanation, detailed explanation on really what happened.
Went one direction, something happened, and we had to piecemeal something.
You can still
together.
Find that. You can still find that old stuff on YouTube and everything else from where it was shown off.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't hiding the fact that this is what our game is, and then they weren't hiding the fact that, yeah, we've switched direction, but they never explained it.
Yeah.
Like, what happened? Did it not test well, and you had to find some, what was the deal? Because the stuff we were seeing ahead of time looked really, really good, and the stuff that came after was still fine, but it just did not include what we were seeing previous.
Mm.
I remember playing the game. I really enjoyed the game, even without what we had seen earlier, but I'm just curious as to where all that went and why. Mainly why. I just want to be a fly on that wall, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just to see what happened. By the way, show note, I know this is like right in the middle of the damn show, but we're not doing an episode next week. It's Labor Day weekend here in the States, and we are taking that weekend off. So no show next week. I'm going to do a replay.
Mm.
So just wanted to let you guys know that are listening now, and I totally forgot to mention that. So we had, while we had one guy joining a team, we had somebody else leaving a team. And for most people, it's good riddance.
Mm.
We're talking about Bungie. And we'll get into more of that when we come back from this break. Going to break here again with a game that released sometime in January this year. It is a game called Rogue Waters. And it is the main theme of that game. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. We'll be right back. back into in-game chat. Music here from Civilization VII. This is for this is the music for Carthage in the antiquity period. So
another one of them titles you don't need gameplay for. You know what you're getting.
Really, you don't. You don't need gameplay for it. You know exactly what you're getting. Although Civ VII has not reached the satisfactory level with players.
Yeah.
As previous Civilization games have. So. All right, jumping back into the news. We had, so we talked about Rod Ferguson joining the BioShock teams. Now we have Pete Parsons. He is the longtime Bungie executive who has stepped down from his role at the company. This happened on Thursday. He'd been there for decades. He became their CEO in 2016 after serving as executive producer and chief operating officer since 2002. This goes way back with Bungie. Mm-hmm. Been there for a very long time.
Yep.
He said in a statement on Bungie's website, "This journey has been an honor of a lifetime. When I was asked to lead Bungie in 2015, my goal was to grow us into a studio capable of creating and sustaining iconic is blah, 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 blah." I'm just saying, this is one of those exit departure messages.
Yeah, yeah.
That I could throw, you know, I could make a, I could put a board up and on it take those, you know, magnetic word, whatever, stickers of corporate speak and just throw it up there and be like, you can, I can make a, it doesn't matter what the order was that I threw them up, it'll make some gobbledygook of a sentence.
The basic generic, thanks for having me, you know, that type of thing. Yeah.
Corp speak. Yeah. Boom, boom, boom.
When you don't, when you know you, when you, well, especially if the departure is under, bad terms.
I don't know if this is under bad terms, but there was a lot of good riddance among the community. This is the guy. And let me see if they talk. Let me see if they talk about it. They don't. This is the guy who, when Bungie was bought by Sony, he got a massive pay increase, or I don't know what it was. He got a bunch of money.
Yeah, yeah.
And he started buying classic cars. Okay, just a whole bunch of classic
cars.
Without putting that money into the company or the people who worked there or anything like that, he was just going nuts with it. I'd have to go back to, I'd have to go back and find it to give you a better summary of events.
Yeah.
Because you're probably thinking, well, it's his money. He's free to do what he wants with it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, yeah.
It wasn't actually like that that I know of. I believe that was. I believe there was some more to it. But Justin Truman is now stepping in as studio head at Bungie. He was previously general manager for Destiny 2 and the company's chief developmental officer. So, yeah, we're hard at work right now to make... Again, more corporate speak. We're currently heads down, but we'll have more to show you in both of these worlds later on. He was speaking of Marathon and Destiny as well. Good luck for turning that around. It's a lot to do on that one. Man, I wish I could find more about that.
About the money thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody made a comment about it, but yeah. What is his name? Pete Parsons, right?
Pete Parsons.
Yeah. Pete Parsons Cars. Boom. Comes up as the second suggestion.
Means a lot. I mean, there was, means there was a lot of talk about it, wasn't it?
Pete Parsons seems to have spent $2.4 million on 25 cars in the last 2 years. They found a Twitter profile, or X or whatever at that time, that it was a bidding profile. Over the last 2 years, He had bid on 25 cars, spending $2.4 million on those cars. In that same time frame, Bungie has laid off almost 25% of its staff.
Mm-hmm.
Your business is, you're laying off 25% of your people. Meanwhile, you're spending $2.5 million on cars. It's not a good look.
Right.
Regardless of whether it's, well, it's his money, he can do what he wants. You're playing the villain in this role,
mm-hmm.
doing stuff like this.
Yep.
I'm going through this. This is a Reddit thread. And I'm kind of going through just to see if I can get some more info on this.
Yeah. So who's the new guy taking over? Justin?
Yeah. Well, somebody asked here, I don't care for corporations, but how would he put the company in the red by doing this? It's his money, not Bungie's, right? And the guy says the executive salaries are part of the company's spending, for starters. Second, as far as other overspending, allegedly they opened a whole new building only 15 miles away for their current one when many thought it was unnecessary, and then they closed down the new building about 11 months after it was finished, which is a blatant waste of money. It's the juxtaposition of those now suffering without income while he lives in such extreme excess. Think of monarchs eating cake while the peasants starve. And no one is saying that he bought the cars with Bungie's money. He probably gets paid way more than anyone else, so when the company is not doing well, they should cut his pay instead of laying off everyone. They are saying if he has enough money for all of these cars, then his pay could have definitely been reduced to keep from having to fire or lay off 25% of the company.
Mm-hmm.
Optics and everything else. I was trying to go back and see what all that fuss was, because it's been over a year since that had happened. And so I wanted to get a better idea of what I was looking into.
I was asking who the person is.
Justin
Truman.
Yeah.
And I was seeing if there's anything that suggested that he can...
That he can write the ship?
He can write the ship, yeah.
There's not, although I think some people were very hopeful that maybe this would bring about a Destiny 3, where they kind of let go of Destiny 2 and Destiny as a whole and just, okay, let's start again. Here's 3, mm-hmm. and let's move from here. Rather than continuing this on, we did. That's the thing. You wrapped up Destiny's story in the final shape.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I know, you did. So take it, move on, go into Destiny 3. They don't want to do it because of everything that they built with their mechanic and the game engine, the mechanics, and everything else.
Yeah,
they don't have to start from scratch. They got so much that they've put into this that they don't want to move beyond it. And they also feel like first off, they got to come up with story. They got to do all this if they're going to move on to something else.
Mm-hmm.
Storylines were never really big for them. You know, Bungie's never been good at telling a story. They've been good at correcting, you know, specifically the Taken King is one of the ones where they course corrected and did a very good job of it.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't seen anything like that again. They've come close, but nothing like that. Lightfall was horrible. The Lightfall expansion storyline especially was just bad.
Mm.
It was really, really bad. That bug again. By the way, during the break, I kept looking for the damn bug, and he was not around. Now he is.
Yeah, I told you what happened.
He heard me.
He understood you.
Yeah, he's like, you know, when he takes those headphones off, I'm going to just go away. But when he puts them back on, I'm going to hang around and bug him.
Learn behavior.
Yeah. You want to talk about Randy Pitchford, right?
Yeah, I saw the article you put in there, and it's like...
who doesn't want to talk about Randy the Mouth Pitchford, I guess we should call him.
Goodness, man.
The Randy, I'm going to say something really dumb Pitchford. Gearbox boss Randy... This comes from PCGamer.com. Gearbox boss Randy Pitchford ruffled some feathers recently. Oh, really? Big shocker there with the comment that a real fan would pay $80 to play Borderlands 4 if it happened to cost that much, and then somewhat unruffled those feathers with the reveal that it wasn't going to cost $80. Borderlands 4 will be $70 like most other games from big publishers right now. Pitchford now says, however, that $200 would be a fair price for Borderlands 4, but he wishes that the game was free. I think they could charge $200, said Randy Pitchford. He said more than that, but I can't repeat that. I wish they'd give it away because then everyone would play it. That's not how the business works, but the value is there. This recurring theme in game pricing debates goes back for as long as I can remember. A video game may cost more than a movie, but a movie only lasts a couple hours, where you can easily spend 100 hours or more playing a big game. You look at all the past Borderland games, we have people that spend thousands of hours in the Borderlands, Pitchford said. If you think about that in terms of the most amount that could have ever been spent versus the time of entertainment, you can't find a better value in the world for any kind of entertainment. There's some merit to that argument. When I've been strapped for cash, I've definitely favored big RPGs that I can chew on for months. Avowed comes to mind. That would be a great game that I got on Game Pass and could hold me over for a while. And it did hold me over for a while until I got tired of it. But as Pitchford acknowledges, the argument only goes so far. I wouldn't pay $70 for an audiobook version of a so-so novel just because it's long, or because you told me that the author spent 10 years writing it. I'll take the shorter, better novel, please. $70 is a lot of money for most people, and I don't think they care how big AAA budgets are. There are lots of other things that they can do with their money and their time, and it's notable that we're seeing some games going down from $60 rather than going up. Dune Awakening and Clair Obscur Expedition 33 are two examples of highly rated $50 games from this year. But as much as Pitchford likes to stoke the flames of discourse, he's got no illusions about the realities of the marketplace. Quoting him, he says, "At the end of the day, when I want something and I feel like what they're asking for is fair, I'll get it. If I don't want something, I won't. Or if I think that they're asking for what they're asking of me isn't fair, I'm not going to do it. All the talk doesn't matter. At the end of the day, that's what it is. Your price versus what you're going to get out of it." Borderlands 4, for $70, will be out September 12th on Steam and the Epic Game Store and for consoles as well. So, I would like to give it away for free. Easy for him to say since he's not the publisher.
Yeah, he's not the publisher.
But put yourself in publisher shoes and see if you would actually give that out for free.
Mm-mm.
Put the time into the game and see if you would actually put the time into the making of the game. Let me be more specific. And see if you would give it out for free.
Yeah.
All that trouble and you give it out for free. Regardless of how many are going to be, how much DLC is going to be available or a season pass or whatever. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I have been blinded to Borderlands for such a long time now.
Yeah.
I haven't followed it. I don't know.
Pre-sequel was when I...
As when you jumped ship.
When I stopped, yeah. Because there was no characters I could really get behind or get into. And I was just like, well, man, that's it. I'm done.
Yeah, 2 was mine. Mm-hmm. No way, Bug. Yeah. Oh, yeah, the Rogue Ally we're getting in October. But again, we don't have a price yet.
Hmm.
Let me read some more about that. Comes from PC Gamer. The Rogue Xbox Ally borrows a heck of a lot from the Steam Deck, proving that the old gated console concept is a thing of the past. Gamescom, people got to get some hands-on time with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it sure does borrow a lot from the Steam Deck, especially when it comes to how it categorizes different levels of compatibility, though I would argue Xbox's approach is marginally better than Valve's. Games that run at 30 frames per second or above will be marked should perform well on your device, while games that hit 60 and above will be marked should perform great on this device. I think this is an increasingly necessary distinction and one that Valve could probably adopt. Games like Dragon Age the Veilguard and Avowed definitely run on the Steam Deck. Both have verified status, but they don't run well. Meanwhile, games that haven't been tested on the Rogue Xbox Ally will be marked as such, so that you'll know. There is also a handheld optimized tag To gain this distinction, a game will need to work seamlessly with a controller with all menus and prompts working as intended, while UI elements will need to be legible on a smaller screen. In other words, it's basically the equivalent of Steam Deck's verified tag. The Xbox home screen, or at least the version of it you'll see running on the Rogue, will, like the Steam Deck, have a handheld optimized section. If Microsoft had released a handheld, say, 4 years ago, I doubt it would have let you try to boot up games that weren't made to run on it. And I bet it wouldn't have let you optimize battery life, remap buttons, toggle on a performance overlay. These are not the kind of things a console has traditionally let you do, so the influence of the Steam Deck looms large here. Not least because the Ally will also let you download apps for Steam, Good Old Games, and the Epic Game Store, among other digital shopfronts, and you'll theoretically be able to enjoy games across those libraries seamlessly, though I'm not sure yet whether they'll be marked with the same performance badges as native Xbox games. Apparently it's running Windows 11. The question is whether the average PC player will want this over a normal Rogue Ally, not to mention a Steam Deck or a Lenovo. Prices haven't been confirmed due to macroeconomic impacts on cost, according to Microsoft, speaking to IGN, but Deal Labs claims the Xbox Ally will cost $550, while the Xbox Ally X, which is kind of an upgraded version of the whatever, is going to cost around $900. Mm. So, don't know. I mean, I'm interested, maybe not in buying it. I'm interested in the fact that it's going to exist. I like the idea of having a handheld console. Mm-hmm. I get that's what the Switch is.
Yeah.
But more of that for all three of them. Mm-hmm. Nintendo is there with the Switch. Microsoft and PlayStation really haven't gotten there. Microsoft is with this device.
Yeah.
PlayStation has the Portal, but that only works in your home, on your own home network. And it only works to stream your PlayStation 5 to the Portal.
To the Portal, yeah.
It's not something that I can go take with me up here to the station and play with.
Right.
It's not something that, you know, you can walk around the neighborhood or whatever the case. You have to be on your network, and your PlayStation 5 has to be running the game so that you can play it on your Portal.
Yep.
It's a neat device. I love what it is, and I know for a lot of people it probably helps them out as far as, you know, the TV's being used. I can't play my game, but I can with my Portal in another room.
Yeah.
That works. I like the idea of that. I wish it was more of a handheld. In other words, yeah.
Not truly portable.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not truly portable.
Like, I like the fact that my Steam Deck can stream from my PC when I'm at home on the network.
Mm-hmm.
But also, when I'm not at home, I can play games on the Steam Deck that I own.
Yeah.
So, it'd be great if and I don't know if it will, I'm sure we're going to get some massive reviews in October when this thing goes live. But I would be curious to see if the Rogue Xbox Ally, that one, the handheld Xbox, can stream from your machine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can this stream from my Xbox on my home network, but also let me play games when I'm not on my home network, out and about, whatever the case,
yeah,
where I can download and play those titles. I'd be curious if that's the case. It seems like that would be something that they would do.
Borrowing heavily from the Steam Deck.
Yeah, and they may have already done that. They may have already announced something like that, and I'm just behind the times. It's very likely that is the case here, so I don't know. But I'd be interested in it. Am I $900 interested in it? Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Am I even $700 interested in it? Nope. God, the bug. Really getting on my nerves, man.
Yeah. That's a heck of a price difference. I was saying $550 to $900. I mean,
$550. What was the $550 one?
You said the one version was $550.
I thought it was $700. Was I wrong?
Let's see. Yeah, that's Deal Labs claims the Xbox Ally will cost $550, but the Xbox Ally X will cost $900.
Oh, I thought it was $700 and then $900.
Yeah.
Okay, I was.
No, but I mean that big price difference that I see there. I'm trying to remember the Steam Deck prices, the hierarchy, what the prices were for the Steam Deck. Between the lowest one and the highest one.
I think it went to 700. 650 or 700 on the highest.
Okay.
I'm looking it up now.
Yeah.
Just to see, huh?
Mm-hmm.
As this is pulling up here. Okay. No. Choose your Steam Deck. There we go. 650 is the largest. You can get $400, you can get the LCD version.
Mm-hmm.
With 256 gigs of memory,
okay,
which you can open up and replace with your own.
Yeah.
$549 is the low point of the OLED version, and that is 512 gigs,
mm-hmm.
which, again, you can pop open and replace with your own. And then $649, $650 is the 1 terabyte OLED version,
mm-hmm.
which, again, you can pop that open pop and plug open in and a 2 terabyte
yeah.
if you want to do that. But honestly... I'm looking here to see.
So for something to $650 on that one, and
so the $650 comes with a premium anti-glare etched glass, where the $550 one does not. We're talking about Steam Decks here.
Yeah.
Everything else, the carrying case has a removable liner on the $650 one.
Mm-hmm.
And you get some little extra little Steam profile bundle thing that comes with the $650 one. It's got some extra stuff.
Yeah.
You get one with the $550, but you get some extra stuff with the $650.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some differences there. But when I bought mine, it was the old LCD, and it was the low end.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what the price was. It was less than $399, or it may have been around $399, yeah. actually. But I did the replacement on my hard drive stuff.
Yeah.
So
I was saying the biggest difference is... about 400 to 650
uh-huh.
on the Steam Deck, and the Rogue Ally is going
to
be
$550 to $900. Yeah.
Heck of a
now,
job.
But I will say that the innards,
yeah,
of what's coming out in October is more advanced than what you're getting on the Steam Deck.
Mm-hmm.
So you are paying for that technology that they put in there.
Yeah. Okay.
And
still
you're not.
A, yeah. Still
yeah.
To see what the.
And I,
so I want to see what the price jump is. What's
right.
In there. That's what I want to see.
It's there is something like space, like memory and stuff that's in there, like hard drive space on
yeah.
that one that is a jump up. But I think there's more of a jump up on the Rogue Ally
mm-hmm.
As far as the $900 price. It is, yeah, it's got more room to put more games on it, but also has other stuff too. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what.
Yeah.
And I don't think we'll have a full rundown until the thing releases.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll get more information. From it for that.
Yeah.
So. I don't know. That's kind of all the news. I mean, there was some other stuff. There was, man. I don't know if you're still playing. You still playing First Descendant?
I haven't played in a while, but eventually I'm going to get back into it with some friends of mine and start playing that new DLC that came out with it.
They came under flack recently because of some AI-generated ads.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've watched any of them. AI, and maybe even now it is, I don't know, but AI used to be really easy to detect. Now, you gotta really pay attention.
Yeah.
Because this one has like streamers up there. There's like on the bottom screen, it is gameplay. The top screen, it is the streamer, or at least somebody that looks like a streamer.
Mm-hmm.
Headphone, microphone, they're doing all the stuff there, and they're talking about the game. And that's fine. It comes across legit, but with a feeling of, like, this feels not legit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You get a weird vibe of something's off.
Yeah. It's not a...
The people
it's not,
look.
It's not, yeah, it's not as blatantly obvious.
No,
as
it's not
as it used to be.
It used to be obvious because it used to look almost cartoony in a way, and it kept getting better and better with that until now. It looks like an actual person's face, but with their lips conformed to say whatever the words are saying. The problem with that is that you can see the lip sync can be a little off at times.
Yeah, it's like the audio thing with the stream.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little off. And you can tell. You can tell.
But it's not behind. It doesn't look like it's delayed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. But it looks like has a delay to it where the mouth ain't quite matching.
The mouth is not matching up with the words that are being said.
Yeah. But with more practice, they're getting better and better at implementing it to where you can't. We're getting to the point where we can't tell.
So there was talk about that. There was a streamer who even said there's an AI picture of, or there's an AI, whatever, whoever it is.
Yeah.
That looked like this streamer.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was endorsing the game, but he wasn't because he never got paid to endorse the game. But they created an AI account or an AI person that looked like this guy. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, so apparently folks are gathering the ads and making a montage of them.
We would like to seriously apologize for the inconvenience and disappointment created by the recent issue regarding the TikTok Creative Challenge. It's a program where TikTok creators voluntarily produce and submit content that may be used as advertisements. After confirming with TikTok, we learned that no system currently exists to verify potential copyright infringement, and TikTok is now conducting further investigations to identify any additional cases. One confirmed case involved unauthorized use of a streamer's content by another creator. TikTok identified this as a violation of its guidelines and had already blocked the creator's account. We would also like to clarify that we do not upload creator advertisement videos as regular posts on the First Defendant's official TikTok account. Creator advertisement videos are displayed when users access the First Defendant's official account through advertisements. In contrast, if the official account is directly searched and visited, those creator advertisement videos are not displayed. We are taking the TikTok advertisement issue very seriously, recognizing that we failed to uphold the authenticity of our marketing content and to respect the efforts of our creators and community. Basically, you got caught. And now you're throwing out let's go to the corporate board.
Yep. The obligatory, we apologize for whatever.
You got the corporate exit board. You got the corporate on board, which is people who come in new.
Yeah.
And then you've got the corporate apology board.
Yeah.
And it's just a mishmash of corporate speak.
Yeah.
That you could just make any kind of a sentence out of. So, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, folks. That is going to wrap it up for us. We are done for another week. And remember, no show next weekend, Labor Day weekend. Hope you guys have a good, safe Labor Day holiday there. But I hope you guys have a fantastic week. Thank you so much for joining us week in and week out at the show. We really, really appreciate it. RJ, that goes for you too. Thank you so much for showing up week in and week out at this place.
Hey, you're welcome.
So thank you, thank you, thank you. You guys have a wonderful weekend. I'm leaving you with music here from Citizen Sleeper 2. The name of this track is called Signal Chaser. Have a great week. We will see you in two of those weeks. Have a good one. Oh, we're going to get a little chill music here as we go out. Sleep well.